But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Vanda. Let's pray, shall we? So, Father, thank you for this great passage from the Bible, and I pray that you'd speak to us through it as we think today about generosity in Jesus' name. Amen. So do have that passage open at page 976 in the Church Bibles. So at the last congregation, I was telling them about one of the last times that I was at IKEA. Who likes IKEA? Yeah, quite a lot of you. IKEA, fascinating shop. I like going around IKEA, and I particularly like it when you get about halfway around, you end up at the restaurant. And yeah, Swedish meatballs is always goes down well. I like the little red currant kind of sauce they have on the side. You like that? Yeah, that's good. Anyway, it was actually early morning we were there with the family, and it was, you know, we fancied a late breakfast because I like a late breakfast. And Isaac, who was about 10 years old at the time, said to me, Dad, he said, I'd like sausage, egg and bacon. So I said, fine. So we got to the front of the queue. And as we looked up, it said five items or seven. So I said to the lady, I said, my lady, just like sausage, egg and bacon, please. Sorry, sir. Yes, to have five items or seven. Came the reply from the girl. Yeah, I know that, I said, but actually, he only wants three. We're quite happy to pay for five. Can you just have the three? Sorry, sir. Yes, to have five items or seven. Yeah, but we don't really want to waste food and, you know, he's not that hungry. And look, very happy to pay for five. Sorry, sir. Yes, to have five items or seven. Okay, I said, give him five items then, please. What would he like? He'd like sausage, egg and bacon, I said. And what two other items, sir, would he like? We could have tomatoes and beans and hash browns and fried bread. So I said, well, actually, he doesn't want any of them. He just wants sausage, egg and bacon. But and then she interrupted and she said, he could have the children's breakfast. I said, oh, that's good. So she said, what would he like? I said, he'd like sausage, egg and bacon, please. Sorry, sir, we can't do that with the children's breakfast. I thought, who is this woman? What's she like? So I said, look, just give him five items. Just as long as they've got sausage, egg and bacon, I don't really care what the other items are. Just put them on the plate. So she put some sausage and some scrambled egg, some bacon on the plate. And then she said, would tomatoes and hash browns be okay? I said, yeah, just put them on the plate. It's fine. Anyway, we walked away. We kind of thought, what is that woman like? Amazing. Slightly bizarre conversation. But actually, it was rather, you know, we had a good laugh about it. We did. And then I thought to myself afterwards, well, maybe it was her first day at work, you know. And maybe her boss had said to her, it's five items or seven, nothing else, you know. Maybe. Or maybe she was just Mrs. Inflexible, because we do get people like that, don't we? You know, maybe you know some people like that. But it seems to me it's good to listen to people. It's like she wasn't really listening to us at all. And it's good to have a generosity of spirit. And those things seem to be slightly lacking on that day. A generosity of spirit is a wonderful thing, and it's what God wants us to have. And that's why we're talking about generosity today. We're talking about the value of generosity. Now, here in Luke chapter 6, we get a wonderful picture of generosity taught by Jesus, because he's telling the disciples to live their lives as generous people. In fact, if you look in detail, he's telling them to be generous even with people they don't like. That's quite hard. It's easy to be generous, or easier to be generous with people you do like. He's saying go the extra mile, but even be generous with people that you find difficult, people who you think are your enemies. Just have a look at what he says. Have a look at verse 27. He says, love them. Also do good to them. Next verse, 28, bless them, pray for them. Verse 29 and 30, give to them. And then he gives this what's often called the golden rule, verse 31. Do to others what you'd have them do to you. What amazing teaching. And this is all about living generously with everybody and anybody, particularly with people that you find it hard to get on with. This is radical generosity. And that's what we're thinking about today. So as we think about generosity and the kind of generosity God wants us to have as kingdom people, let me share with you three very simple things I'd love us all to get about generosity that hopefully will rub off us as individuals, but also will rub off on us as a church. So the first is this. I want you to get that generosity is an expression of grace. It's a wonderful expression of grace. Now, grace is the Bible word, the New Testament word for God's love. Grace. Maybe some women here, your name is Grace. And it's how the Bible describes how God loves us. God loves us in a way that's undeserved, unmerited, and unearned. It's unconditional. That means that we can't work at it. We can't win it. It's just given and poured out generously and free for us. And that's how God loves us. That's how God loves you. Do you know that? God loves you like that. He's full of grace for you. That love is totally undeserved, but he wants to pour that grace into your life. And that this precious love, this grace, is seen most perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. Most perfectly it's seen in him, in the way that he lived, because he lived a life just like that. He loved and he cared without expecting anything back. That's why he can say with integrity to his followers they should do the same. So look at verse 35 in the reading. He says, basically, live generous lives without expecting to get anything back at all. Whoa. That's how we're supposed to live, because that's how Jesus lived, graciously. There's a real purity to this kind of love. It's called grace. So we see it especially in the life of Jesus, but we see it most particularly in the death of Jesus, which we've been celebrating even tonight in our song and our worship. Remember, Jesus willingly and sacrificially gave his life for you and for me. He did that so we can know God's forgiveness, so there can be no barrier between us and God, so we can know the welcome of God, we can know the embrace of God, we can know God with us and not far from us. The greatest act of grace was Jesus dying for you, dying for me. Jesus said elsewhere, greater love has no one than this, to lay down their life for their friend. That's what Jesus did. That is grace. And so when we live generously, when we freely give, what we're doing is actually mirroring God and mirroring his son Jesus Christ. We're tapping into this most wonderful commodity in the whole wide world called grace. It's a wonderful thing, the grace of God. I recently blogged about the grace of God, and I was using the example of God the Father speaking to his son out of heaven at his baptism. Maybe some of you know that story in the Bible. And the father speaks some wonderful words of love to his son, affirming his son. And I received an email this week about that blog. It went like this. It said, "Dear Matthew, I want to thank you for your blog about the grace of God. I've never grasped the idea of God's grace for me, but now I believe it and I know it. I imagine the scene of Jesus' baptism and God's words to Jesus and your explanation of them, and I can feel the love between God and Jesus, and then that love extending to me. And now I feel secure in God's love, and I haven't felt that before. Thank you so much again." Isn't that great? And makes me feel it's worthwhile doing some teaching and some blogging. That's one way I try and give to people. I'm sure I don't do that perfectly, but those kind of things encourage us, don't they, to be people who give. And you can give in all sorts of ways, and I can give in all sorts of ways, and this church can give in all sorts of wonderful ways, because as we give, so the grace of God touches people's lives. And I want to say that whatever we do here as a church, here at the Belfry, we want to do it generously, with a generosity of spirit. Be that children's work or the Never Give Up group, from the way that we interact with each other in our Belfry groups, from the way we support global mission partners, from providing lunch for folk at the end of the XI congregation, to opening this church up every day for visitors to come in. We want to do all these things and more generously, kindly, with a generosity of spirit. Because you see, when we do that, people get a touch of God's grace. It's a wonderful thing. So that's the first thing. Here's a second thing I want you to get about generosity, and that's this: generosity helps bring transformation. It helps bring transformation. Don't know about you, but I've been enjoying this warm weather today. Do you like that? I love it, a little Indian summer. But I also like the cold winter, actually. I don't mind the cold weather when that comes, particularly Christmas. I like a nice cold Christmas. It always goes down well. And I don't know about you, but I think Christmas is one of my favourite times of the year. And one thing we love to do at Christmas is spill out into the wider community. I remember a few years ago, when we were living in Sheffield, we went round our local community with some of the folk from our church, and we went round singing carols. We decided we'd just like to go down the streets, being very noisy, singing Christmas carols and kind of, you know, wishing the streets Happy Christmas. And we took with us some little gifts, some sweets and that kind of thing. And as we went singing down the road, you know, we'd go knocking on doors, and people would come to the door ready to give us some money for the charity that we were supporting. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but actually we chose not to support a charity because we actually wanted to do it the other way around and give to them. So when they knocked on the door and tried to give us something, we said, "Oh, no, we don't want your money. We're just here for the local church to say Happy Christmas, and here's a little something for you." And at first they thought, "That's a bit, no, do you want some money?" "No, we don't want, here to wish you Happy Christmas." And after a while they went, "Oh, that's great, thank you very much," because they always thought, you know, you want something from them. And we were just trying to give stuff to them, just a little act of generosity. Some people were really blown away by it. In fact, one lady wrote to me afterwards and she said, "You know, that was the best thing about my Christmas. You guys coming down the street, singing Christmas carols, wishing it was a happy Christmas, just giving us some sweets." It's a little act of generosity. Wonderful thing. Last year, we went down our street giving invitations to the Belfry's carol service. If you've never been to that, it's that fantastic extravaganza next door in York Minster. And my wife had made some homemade jam. She went around giving some of those to the neighbours. The neighbours were touched by my wife's generosity. Think about generosity, you see, because when people begin to be touched by generosity, it does something inside them, begins to stir them and change them. It prepares the way for transformation. Think about the most generous act in the history of humankind. We've already highlighted it. It is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. In John 3:16, that's described in this way: God loved the world so much with his grace that he generously gave his only son. The best thing God had was his son, and he gave him away. That's the greatest act of generosity in the whole wide world. And that generous act became the most transformative act in the history of the world. Because Jesus became the Savior of the world. He became your Savior and he became mine. Now, how do you respond to that kind of generosity shown to you? What are you going to do with that? You know, whilst you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Isn't that amazing? God wants to transform your heart by that act of generosity. And as we do acts of generosity to others, he wants to bring transformation to their lives too. You know, for many of us here, I guess this is true for many of us here who are followers of Jesus, we're followers of Jesus today because of generosity. Of course, because of the generosity Jesus has shown to us, but also the generosity that God's people have shown to us. Isn't that true? I suppose that's true for many of us. Somebody had a kind word for you. Somebody put an arm around your shoulder and helped you when you were in difficulty. Somebody was willing to listen to you. Somebody invited you to lunch. Somebody prayed for you. These acts of generosity begin to stir transformation in our hearts. That's what generosity does. So when you give your time generously, or when you provide a listening ear for somebody in need, you're preparing the way for transformation. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, I want to be honest, sometimes transformation takes time, does it not? It doesn't always come quickly. Sometimes it takes a long time. Maybe with some folk, we'll never see that transformation in our lifetime, but we're grateful for what we do see, and we keep working for it and praying intentionally for more transformation of individuals, of families, of communities, even of regions and nations. And that's why our vision here is to be playing our part in serving God's transformation of the North. What a fantastic thing to play a small part in that Cleckheaton mission. Isn't that great? 20 more believers there and hopefully more to come. Just a little sign of us hopefully, you know, giving people away. We've released Roger to get on and go and be the Archbishop's evangelist. We want to see many people come to Christ. Because generosity brings transformation. The third thing I want you to see, and this is a wonderful thing, generosity returns to us, comes back to us. Have a look at verse 38, page 977. Towards the end of this passage, Jesus says, give generously. That's what he's been talking about. And what happens? It will be given to you. Something will come back to you. You know, year after year in this church, certainly over the last 50 years, the people of this church have discovered that as we as a church try to be generous and model God's generosity, so God looks after us. God's always provided for this church community. And some of you older folk here, you know that's always been the case here. Not that we've got this generosity thing perfect, but as we seek to be generous, God honours that. Something comes back to us. Now, don't forget that we're to give to people with no expectation of any blessing coming back to us. That's really important. We saw that in verse 35. So we don't give hoping those people will give back to us. That's too easy. We're told not to do that. But what we are told is that if we give to people, God will look after us. God will allow generosity to come back to us. So the blessing probably won't come from the people you've given to. Well, it could do, but God will look after you in lots of other ways. That's a wonderful promise. But the only way you can check out if that promise is true is to have a go. Is to actually be generous and say, okay, God, I'm being generous here. Hopefully you're going to help me out here somehow. You know what? God always comes up trumps. Now, if you don't believe me, have a look at verse 38. Jesus says it not just once, he actually says it twice. In fact, the second time he says it much more explicitly. Look at how he describes it in verse 38. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. That's a picture of extravagant overflow of God's goodness and blessing. He's saying that if you pour out generously into other people, God will pour back generously into you. And that's true for individuals. That's true for us as a church. Now, here's the thing. When God pours back generously into you, that's not just so you can sit back and say, oh, isn't God good? The Bible says that's so you can give again. and see God's generosity in action, then he'll give back to you so you can give again. If you're not convinced of that, read 2 Corinthians 9 sometime, which talks about how God enriches us continually so we can keep being generous. That's true in the realm of finances, in the realm of time, in the realm of talents, in all sorts of ways. Now, my wife Sam and I, we could give you loads of stories about that in our own lives. And in no way have we nailed this generosity thing, but we've discovered that as we seek to be generous, God always honours us, every time. We've even recently managed to change our car because someone was generous to us and gave us some money. You know, we try and open our home as much as we can, and we got lots of things to learn still about generosity, but we discovered that even when the finances are very tight, which at times in our lives they have been, God's always looked after us. Sometimes it's very late in the day, but it's never totally late. It's always on time. And we discover that as a church as well, you know. God's always looked after us as a church. You know, he does that in all sorts of ways, and he actually does that as we all look after each other. And many of you here have served and given and prayed and loved and poured out yourself into the life of this church. You've given generously. And if that's you, I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for giving generously to this church. I'm sure the Lord honours that in your life and in our communal life. And next week, we're asking you to be generous again, because we have a gift day coming up next week, 29th of September. And on that gift day, we're aiming to raise £50,000 to help us keep going through to Christmas. And you should have had a little leaflet. Did you get that on the way in? It just explains a little bit about that. Let me just explain a couple of things about that, if I may. You know, when we set a budget at the beginning of this year, that's a prayerful thing. We ask the Lord, you know, what we should be doing with our money and how we should be spending it. And when we did that at the beginning of this year, we expected we would probably need a gift day around about now. And if you're around here in February, you may recall that we told you that was probably the case. Thing is, you never know in a church how much money exactly is going to come in as the year goes along. Actually, what's been interesting this year, our income and expenditure has been pretty much exactly what we thought it would be, which is great. And we've managed to do some wonderful things in the life of this church this year, and some of those things are listed on that gift day information sheet. But we'd like to do more. We'd like to press on through to Christmas. So we're asking folks, if they put their hands in their pockets, if they can, and help us through. And there's more information about that on the sheet. Now, why do we need this gift day? The bottom line, I think, is this. This is really important. There's an unprecedented opportunity for mission in our day. There really is. In fact, right now, right here, at this time, here in York and in the North. And we mustn't let that go. So let me give you one or two examples. One is, I think, in the student work here. The student door is really opening in York. We've got a fantastic student team in this church. They've been praying and planning for all sorts of things this term. The bishop has been very kind and gracious in allowing Ben and Ellie to live right in the middle of York University campus. Isn't that amazing? What a fantastic opportunity for mission. That's an amazing answer to prayer. And I think one sign that God wants to accelerate the work amongst the students. Our links with Fusion, the student organisation, have never been stronger. We're really expecting the student work to be stepping up this year. Let me give you another example. The youth and children's work, really picking up. Lee Kirkby. Good man. Lee's our head of youth and children's work here. He came to speak to the church council, the PCC, on Monday this week. I tell you, I've never seen the PCC so animated. They got really excited as Lee began to talk about some of the things going on, some of the stuff happening in Basement Central, the growth in numbers, a very successful soul survivor, further plans, hopefully, to develop the basement. They got so excited and wanted to bless him and pray for him, because it's fantastic. Folks, this isn't a season for falling back. This is a season to be pushing on and growing. Let me give you one or two more examples, perhaps towards the other end of the age bracket, but we saw on the video news, Belfry Neighbours. What a great thing, headed up by Wendy Smart on the team. Practical help for older folk who really need it. There's a leaflet about it in your pews if you want to know more about it. What about the house of prayer we're beginning to develop at St. Cuthbert's? You know, Ben was saying a bit earlier how it's really important that we cover everything that we do in prayer. We want to be calling out to God for this city and for the north. The house of prayer at St. Cuthbert's is going to be so strategic in that. Alpha is about to start. We're about to have an amazing Alpha course. The team's ready and raring to go. Just needs us to invite people. What a massive opportunity to reach out with the love of God. New wine would love us to take a bigger role with them, encouraging churches in the north to grow in kingdom values if we want to. Seems to fit well with our vision to be reaching out well beyond ourselves. So this Thursday, for instance, we have a new wine gathering. I think over 20 leaders so far from the region are booked in, and we're praying that as they come, they're built up and encouraged and return to their parishes with fresh passion and vigour and enthusiasm. Now, I could go on and on and on, mentioning all sorts of different things. I hope you got the idea that there's amazing opportunity for us to be pressing on. And this is not a time, folks, for us to be cutting back. I think the Lord's calling us to be pressing in and to be pressing on. And that's basically why we need a gift day, so we can keep doing what God is calling us to do. But it's important that we are generous and keep modelling generosity. So one thing we'd love to do as we raise this money is give a good part of it away, well beyond ourselves. So in particular, we want to give £7,500 away to the St. Barnabas Theological Centre, SBTC. And again, there's information about that on the back of the sheet you got on the way in. But let me tell you briefly four things about SBTC. The first is this. It's the new missional leadership training centre from which people are sent out into the north of England. It's the initiative of three churches in particular, St. George's Leeds, St. Thomas's Crooks in Sheffield, and ourselves. SBT is something that Roger Simpson, who used to be the vicar here, has been hoping and praying will happen in the north for many years. He's thrilled that it's now happening, because he knows, particularly in the long term, it's going to have strategic significance for the north. And SBT provides excellent church leadership training, putting theology back in the heart of the church, placing people in local context to make a difference, to see their churches grow and develop. And here at the Belfry, we've sent out Eve Ridgway, who's here today. Fantastic. And Sam Tyndall, they're both training for SBTC. We hope to send many more in the future. It's a great thing. So sending people like Eve and Sam and giving finance to SBTC are two ways that we can really practically serve God's transformation of the north. And I'm very pleased to say that Mark Powley, who heads SBTC up, is going to be with us next Sunday morning if you're around at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock next week. So we want to be giving away generously to SBTC next week. So can I say, please come ready to give next week. I mean, give what you can. That'll be different for each one of us, but please be generous. And I'm really pleased to say we've already got £1,000 in. Isn't that good? Just 49,000 to go, folks. So come on. So will you be praying for that this week? Please pray for yourselves and for us as a church that God will provide. We can do that as part of the prayer week. Let me end with these great words from William Carey. William Carey was a Baptist missionary, a great Baptist missionary statesman. And at the end of his life, he said these famous words. He said this: "I once was young, and now I am old. But not once have I been witness to God's failure to supply my need when first I'd given for the furtherance of his work. He's never failed in his promise, so I cannot fail in my service to him." So, folks, can I say, in all of your life, not just in the gift day, but in all of your life, be generous. That's the kind of church God is calling us to be. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are the most generous one. And we worship you. We adore you and we love you for your generosity shown to us most perfectly in Jesus Christ. Thank you that your pure love has touched our hearts. And I pray for myself and each person here and everyone who's heard this message today, Lord, that you would stir fresh generosity in us so we may live generous lives. Help us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.